We're going to have a brief review in 2 Peter. So grab your Bible if you would. It'll be good for you, your tablet, your phone. And as you're doing that, I just want to pray. God, thank you so much for what you allowed me to go to. First time I've been there. And it was worth the effort and the time. And I thank you for all the people that put all that together. There's lots of incredibly hard work to be able to bring us together and help us move and follow you and seek you. Now, as we just kind of make a quick run through 2 Peter, thank you that you have that book for us. And you've had it for us over the past 3 or 4 months. And now we just check it out just a little bit to put it deeper into our heart. Thank you that you lead us, you guide us, you care for us. You do know our name.
More thanks.
Amen. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing, this is verse 1, with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So look at that verse. I think I've rightly called it. This verse tells us about a child of God. Somebody who's come together as a part of the body of Christ. The child of God is who a person is who has obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 says this, "For just as the one body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." That's who we are. We are the body of Christ. We've come together. We're a living, breathing organism that Christ is the head of. And that makes us, as we've come to know Jesus Christ, that makes us a child of God, a part of the family of God. And we need to recognize that, even as Todd led us so well today in the songs that he picked out, to honor our Father, the great Heavenly Father, the Father who loves us so much and knows our name and is good and cares for us. We're part of who his family is. We're part of who he is. And as we've received him, we are a child of God. And we need to recognize that. We need to understand that's our identity and who Christ is and all the things that we've done and who we are and our family systems. But really, when we know Jesus, our identity is we are a child of God. We are part of the family of God. Listen, I remind you of this. If you're walking the Christian life by yourself, you're missing out on the family relationships God designed for us. If you're a child of God and you're walking by yourself in your Christian life, you're missing out on the family relationship that God has ordained for us. You know this. In the New Testament, there are more than 30 "do this" one another's. Love one another, honor one another, serve one another, encourage one another, greet one another, welcome one another. There are about 9, one author says, there's about 9 "don't do this" love one another. It's like, don't envy one another. Don't judge one another. We have all these one another's that are there for us because we're a part of each other. That's why we've been encouraging you over the past year especially, come and get involved in Sunday school. Be a part of a Sunday school class. Be a part of a small group. You need it. It needs to be a part of your life because you can't do the one another's without being with one another. You can't do the one another's without being with one another. You can't encourage one another if you're not with one another. You can't love one another if you're not love one. You say, oh, I love them, but love is demonstrated. It's come together. Come and join with us. It's that important for you. It'll take this to another level for you of following Jesus Christ. And we know this. We know relationships can be messy at times. Right? Yeah, they can be messy at times, but you only mature as you work shoulder to shoulder, face to face. I mean, we can say, well, you know, man, I'm really growing here. But unless we're doing that together, we're not following what he's designed for us and what he has commanded us to do. And being that we're members of one another, verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. 6 times in this book, he uses this phrase, knowledge of God, speaking to that sense, the knowledge that's in our head to know who he is, but the knowledge that's in our heart too, to live it out, to grow and be a part of what he has for us. So he's followed that theme as we go through this book. Those six times he uses the word knowledge other places too, and know other places, but specifically related to this knowledge of God, having a head understanding of who he is as best we can, but a heart understanding to want to live out what he has for us. And the only way you can do that, the only way you can have grace and peace be multiplied to you, knowledge of God and Savior, is you have to know him as your Savior. You have to have come to know him as your Savior. You only have a head knowledge if you know that there is a God. Well, the demons believe there's a God. They understand that. But for us to have a heart knowledge, then we need to know him, and that's why we often go through the ABCs. Admit to God that you're a sinner. And Johnny reminded me, even last week as he was in Vacation Bible School, he reminded me that it says, admit to God that you are a sinner and repent. Kind of forgotten that phrase. That we would say, God, we're a sinner. We know that. He knows it too. Right? And that we would repent. We would say, I don't want to go that way anymore. With your help, God, I want to stay away from that. And I want to move towards you, because now in Christ, I'm part of your family. I'm your child. And this is how I should live, because I'm a child of God. And a child of God should want to imitate the Heavenly Father. Right? A child of God should want to imitate the Heavenly Father and be a part of his life. So we admit to God that we're a sinner, we repent, and then we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he gave his life for us, that he died on the cross, that he rose again on the third day. And we believe that, we understand that. Again, a head knowledge, but also a heart knowledge. This is how I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of his life. And we do that so that we can confess our faith in him. We can say to him, I want you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to be a part of your family. I choose to stay away this way, move from this and move towards you, because that's repentance and that's what you want from me. And if you've never come to know Jesus Christ, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Today to say, yes, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life. I want to become your child, because, and I want you to be my Heavenly Father, because you're a good, good God. And you demonstrated that by coming and giving your Son, who loved us so much, so that through belief we wouldn't perish, but we'd have everlasting life. Make sure you know Jesus as your Savior. And if you do, recognize you're a child of God and you're part of the family of faith. But after we come to know Jesus, going through, moving into 2 Peter here, if we come to know Jesus our Savior, we want to confirm that that's the case. We want to give evidence of it to ourselves and to others. And this next section, I put 3 through 15, I've just said this, that we need to confirm that we are a child of God, that I'm a child of God, and we can confirm that by growing in the knowledge of God, by moving toward him. And he gives us a good plan in verses 5 through 8. He says this, Peter, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith or add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Those are things that we want to be a part of our life. We want to grow in our knowledge of God. He's given us this opportunity to get to know him. And these things that we can add to our life, supplement our faith with, these are things that we can grow in so that it gives evidence that we have a knowledge of God, that we're growing with him and that we're understanding who he is and moving toward him. And he says, if you want to be effective and fruitful in this walk with Jesus Christ and your knowledge of him, then you add these things. And if you add these things, you will be effective. You will be fruitful. He doesn't want you to be nearsighted. He wants you to follow him and to seek him and pursue him in every way. And he says, make every effort. Be intentional. Be intentional. Have purpose. Have discipline to your lives to add these qualities to your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and your growth in his knowledge. A lady in our church on Monday of VBS gave me a devotional that she had just read that this morning, and it fits so well with our theme for Vacation Bible School, but it also fits so well with this thought of growing in the knowledge of God. Here's what it says. God's rock solid truth in a world of shifting sand. That was our theme for VBS. And here was the devotional. The lady Cynthia Rucci said, a sand lesson came while visiting a wet, soft sand beach. You know what that means? It's not one they drive on, all right? You know, that's hard. It's wet, and it moves. The sand moves. If I stood still, the incoming and outgoing waves washed the sand out from under me, making it difficult to stand. You've probably been on a beach. You've noticed that. You stand, and pretty soon the sand's kind of gone out from you. She says, the only way I could stay upright was if I kept moving. Standing still, I'd sink. What a moving picture of my faith walk with Jesus. It's so easy to sink when I'm not progressing forward. Miss reading the devotional a day or two. Stop memorizing scripture. Skip church. Let the world suck me into the vortex of noise and chaotic conversations rather than taking time to listen to Jesus. May the sinking sand image stick with me. And may it always serve its purpose of reminding me to keep putting one foot in front of the other as Jesus and I walk together. What a great illustration of growing in the knowledge of God, to keep moving, not stand there and let everything around us let us go down and sink, but to keep moving in this knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, as a child of God, you want to imitate your Heavenly Father. So if growing in the knowledge of God is not something you're pursuing, then I think you got to ask yourself this question. Am I a child of God? Ding! Am I a child of God? If we're not growing, if that's not a pursuit for us, we have to ask ourselves that question or ask this question. So, what do I need to change? So, this is a part of my life. So that I'm moving and growing in my knowledge of God. Well, verses 16 and through 21 of the same first chapter, I put this, confirm you are a child of God by being in the Word of God. He talks about that as he goes through, as Peter gives this explanation. We were on the Mount of Transfiguration, we were God. God revealed himself to us, the Word revealed himself to us. And now, I have that memory. Now he says, but you don't have that memory, but you do have the Word of God. As he says in 20 and 21, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He says, this was my experience, but now you have the Word of God. What we have, and we have the full Word of God. We confirm that we are a child of God by being in the Word, wanting to be with Him through the Word. In our VBS theme, God's rock solid truth in a world of shifting sand, we started off by saying this, God's truth never changes. God's truth never changes. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God will never fade away. It'll never go away. And we said within that, we said God's plan is best. Not only does His truth not change, but God's plan is best for us. I get this statement, I wrote it down about 3 or 4 weeks ago, this. You can trust the one who loves you the most. Finally got to use that. You can trust the one who loves you the most. That's Him, right? The Heavenly Father, the good God. Notice what He says as Peter gives this instruction to them. He says in verse 19, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well, which you will do well to pay attention. Bill Donahue's not here this morning. I don't see him, but his book, Pay Attention. What a great picture for us. Pay attention to what God has given to us. Right here, pay attention to it. Confirm you're a child of God by being in the Word of God and paying close attention to it. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Bible. There we go. The preschool people know what to say at the end of that. But let me ask you. Is it the book for you? If you're not in it, it's not the book for you. It's just another book. How can you put it into your life? You see, a child of God wants to imitate his Father. And if you're not pursuing what he's given to us in his word, are you really a child of God? Because you want to be with him as a child. Or what do you need to change to make that clear to yourself, to God the good Father, to the people around, that the Bible is the book for you and that you want to be a part of it? Listen, I want to give you some ways that you could learn the Bible and be a part of it. I haven't talked much about this, but I need to talk more. There's ways you can get Bible training all around us. Online, you can do Liberty, you can do Moody, you can do Gateway Seminary, you can do CCU, Carl Christian University. We have a program right here in our own Royal Gorge Baptist Association called Acts 13, where you can go. It's a two-year program every other Monday night. You could be a part of that. You can learn the Word of God. You can learn how to disciple. It's for men and women, not necessarily to produce pastors. Some will. But out of that, be able to do a better job of taking the Word of God and discipling people. There's Frontier School of the Bible that we've sent a couple of our gals to. There's Front Range Bible Institute up in Colorado Springs that you could be a part of. There are all sorts of ways that you could grow in your knowledge of the Word of God and be able to understand it better and to have some training that will help you to be able to follow him more closely and to say, I'm in the Word. I'm a child of God and I want to be in your Word and I want to grow in it. Of course, your Sunday school class would add to that too. And your small group are ways that you can grow in that. Confirm you're a child of God by being in the Word of God. Now we look at chapters 2 and part of chapters 3 as we keep moving on in our review. Put it this way, confirm you're a child of God by refusing to embrace the anti-biblical teaching that's all around us. Peter spends a lot of time, you know, all of chapter 2, first 7 verses of chapter 3 he puts together. From my sermon a few weeks ago on 5:12, when I was talking about this passage, I said this, the truths of God have been revealed. Peter tells us that, the truths of God have been revealed. But he also tells us this, the truths of God will be opposed. And he gives us examples of that. Noah and the people that didn't get on the ark. Sodom and Gomorrah, the people that didn't honor God. The angels who sinned and he doomed them to judgment. He says they didn't honor the word of God. They didn't participate in the word. They didn't grow in their knowledge of God. And he says the truths of God will be opposed. But I said also this, the God of truth will make things right in his timing. He's going to bring it all together. Yeah, hallelujah. We look forward to that. It's a difficult day when he comes and there's the taking up and we get to be with him, but there's also the judgment of the ungodly that takes place. You see, that God's judgment is real and it's ongoing. I mean, we don't see it like some of the examples we see here from the Old Testament, but I respect the Word of God, and I think I can say that truthfully, that God's judgment is real even today. And it's ongoing. So you know what we need to do? We need to learn from that and avoid it. We need to avoid the anti-biblical teaching that's taking place around us. Here are two of the most prominent false teachings of today that even churches are buying into. You probably know by now it's Pride Month. Those who would embrace anti-biblical teaching are crying out to us, follow us. Right? I mean, it's all around. We see it around. And they're crying out, follow us. But here's the truth. God's plan was first. Genesis 2:24. For a man shall leave his father, mother, and he shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You've heard me say it. This is how I put that. One man, one woman, one life, and one lifetime. That's God's desire. And guess what? That plan was before any other plan. That's God's best for us. And what he has for us in the midst of a world of shifting sand, of untruths that are part of our lives. I also tell you that his plan is best. Hebrews 13:4 says this, let marriage be held in honor by all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. That's a promise. God always keeps his promise. And we don't want to be a part of that. And we don't want the people of the world to be a part of that either, right? We care for them. We don't want them to suffer God's judgment. See, his plan was first, and his plan is best for us. How about in the abortion issue? Those who are crying out for supposed women's, or this phrase is getting used, any birthing person's rights. It's out there. So they're using that word all the time. Any birthing person have conveniently neglected the rights of the human being in the womb. What does the golden rule say? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Treat others as you would like to be treated. They don't. God allowed them to have life. Their parents allowed them to have life. And they're saying, oh, it doesn't really matter if it's just not convenient or da-da-da-da. We can take the life. That's not treating others as you would like to be treated. Psalm 139, you know this well. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fom. That's a way to remember that. I'm fom. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I think most of the people out there, I think most people understand that there was, God had a plan, and that he knitted people together. And this Father's Day, how important that is. And you've been allowed to live, and we need to stand for those rights of the unborn, oftentimes the most persecuted around us. Shane Pruitt, in his speech, he's our next gen guy. Next gen is our younger generation. Did a great job. Man, he had a great sermon. But he said this, I thought it was so significant. He said this, God is the creator and designer and definer of life. Man, when he put that little definer on there, I was like, you got it, buddy. You got it. God is the creator, designer, and the definer of how life is to be lived. I had a chance to work on this sermon before I left because I wanted to try to get ahead. I knew I'd be busy coming back. And on Friday the 7th, as I was working on it after VBS, working on things, and I just put down some of the Christian Post headlines in this world of anti-biblical teaching. These are some of the headlines. Christian Post's a daily blog that I get. Has a bunch of different articles. But it says this. These are some of the headlines. City of Carlsbad, California bans name of Jesus in prayers. In their board meetings, in their committee meetings, in their council meetings, like our metro board, they've now banned using the name Jesus in prayers. They also... The atheist wants the chaplains to go. Whatever chaplains they have, they don't want them. Because they know what those chaplains are teaching. They're teaching about Jesus. Another headline. Woke Star Wars, it said. Spinoff show pushes pronouns, LGBT theology. Another headline. We grieve. The United Methodist Conference responds to 1 million members of a regional conference leaving the denomination over their approval of same-sex marriage for clergy. In a regional conference, they lost 1 million members because of the decision they just recently made. Another headline, 21% of Protestant pastors see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. 46% of mainline denominational pastors support same-sex marriage. Another headline, whistleblower who exposed Texas hospital's secret trans surgeries on kids indicted by the Department of Justice for allegedly violating the HIPAA Act. Stands up for the truth of God or the truth of biology, that we are who we are, male and female, and that God had a plan that was best for us. He knows how we're created, and he knows our name, and it's best to stay there and to stay in that lane. It's not just best, it's right to stay there in that lane. And yet he violates a human law that we can't give information, right? But he stands up for what's right. And our Department of Justice indicts him. That was just some of the headlines. On one day of anti-biblical teaching. Today, even in the church, there's the prosperity gospel. God wants you healthy and wealthy. No, he doesn't. If he gives that to you, great. But there's a lot of talk about suffering in the Word of God. Jesus is only a great prophet or teacher. No, no, no. He didn't come to do that. He's not just a great teacher or prophet. He's the Son of God. Those that declare that he's not the Son of God, there are those. When we die, we cease to exist. Churches believe that. When we die, we cease to exist. Jesus didn't say that. He says there's two options. You're going to keep living in one of them. Either heaven or hell. He's clear about that. Those are the things, the anti-biblical teaching that we need to refuse to embrace. Now, let me, I'm going to give a little deal here. Now, just this week, some in our congregation were involved in a scam. You might have got an email about this. The scam was this. They get an email from somebody that says, hey, this is Pastor Scott. And this has happened twice in the last 2 years, but I'm warning you. This is Pastor Scott. I need you to do something for me kind of secretly, discreetly. I'm in a prayer meeting, and I can't talk right now, so please respond to my email. Respond to that email, what they want you to do. I want to give a gift to our staff. I want you to go down. I want you to get some credit cards, some gift cards. And then we'll talk. They go and get the gift cards. They scratch off the number. Guess what? They now have your gift card. I'm telling you, that's deceit. I did not do that. I wouldn't do that to you. And if that happens, please call me, come to the office, something, because that's not for me. I would not ask you to do that. And that's happened in our congregation twice in the last 2 years. Please, it's a kind of part, it's false teaching. It's deceit. Somebody's deceiving you. Just don't fall for it, okay? Because I'm not going to do that to you. So, that's part of false teaching. All right. Pastor James Noble at this SBC convention said this. He's talking about false teaching. He said, don't let the world norm you. Don't let the world norm you. That's not norm with a capital N. Don't let the world norm you. It's trying to do that. This is normal. No, it's not. This is normal because this is God's word and what he has for us. Don't let the world norm you. Well, that's a quick review of chapters 2 and chapters 3. I'll keep going on. As we go into chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, confirm you're a child of God by living a holy life while waiting for the coming of Jesus. That's what he gets into in verses 7 through 13. Someday Jesus is going to return, right? Amen. Look forward right now. It'd be great. We look forward to it. He's going to get his children, his family, his church, his bride, all the same. And with his return will come a day of judgment, he says in verse 7. He says that's going to happen. But the same word, the heavens and earth now exist, are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. We don't want to be a part of that. We want to learn from what's out there, but we want to avoid it and be a part of that. Jesus is coming back to stay. Could be any time of day. Could be, right? Could be. Could be today. Hey, there was a really funny little story in Daily Bread on Thursday. See, I get the advantage to know what I'm preaching on. You don't always know that. But it's a really funny story. It goes like this. My friend, the author writes, he says, my friend Paul was awaiting the arrival of a technician to repair his refrigerator when he saw a text on his phone from the appliance company. It read, Jesus is on his way and is expected to arrive at approximately 11:35 a.m. The author goes on, he said, Paul soon discovered the technician's name was indeed Jesus. What a fun little illustration. I'm going, that's great. Jesus is on his way and he'll be there at 11:35 a.m. Well, nobody knows when Jesus is coming, right? our Jesus. We don't know that, but he's coming. And we look forward to that day. What are we supposed to do in the midst of that? We're supposed to wait with anticipation, but we're also supposed to live holy lives. He says that to us. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, in verse 11, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord? We're waiting for him. In the midst of that, let's live holy lives, because a child of God wants to imitate his Father. And the Father is holy, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. He gives us this. But as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, you shall be holy because I am holy. We live holy lives. When Jesus, the Holy One of God, returns, so as I gave you from Wayne Watson's song, there's no big change. We live that holy life so when he comes, we look like him. Why? Because we're children of God. We're part of his family. We want to be like our heavenly Father. If we're not, then are we a child of God? Am I a child of God? And what do I need to change in my life? What is it I need to put off or put on so I live this holy life in excitement while I wait for his coming? Well, we get to the last part. Verses 14 through 18, which Johnny gave to us last week. Confirm you're a child of God by growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you think back, he started off with that. He had a prayer for his people, the people that he's writing to in Asia Minor. He had a prayer for them, saying that grace and peace would be multiplied to us in the knowledge of God. And then he gives us a challenge at the end of the book in verse 18, where he says, but grow. He has the prayer as he begins. Now he says, this is what I want you to do. I challenge you. I exhort you. I command you. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, a child of God wants to imitate his Father. And so if our desire isn't and our pursuit isn't that we want to grow in the grace of the knowledge of God, then we have to ask ourselves the question, am I a child of God? Because a child will want to imitate the Heavenly Father. A child of God will want to imitate the Heavenly Father. That's the book of 2 Peter. A brief review of the paragraphs and putting it together for you. First of all, recognize that you are a child of God. That's your identity, that you're a part of the family of God. And within that, confirm, keep confirming day by day. Confirm that you're a part of what he wants us to do, that you're a child of God by growing in the knowledge of God, that you're a child of God by being in the Word, that you're a child of God by refusing to embrace the anti-biblical teaching, that you're a child of God in the sense of that you want to live a holy life while you wait for Jesus. And then lastly, as he puts it all together, which wraps it all up, puts a big bow on it, grow in the grace, the knowledge of God. Confirm that you are a child of God. Because that's your desire, that's your intention, that's your purpose, that's what you want to do in your life. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and a quick review. Father in heaven, thank you that you're a good God and you love us. Father, may be our desire, our purpose, our intention, our focus, to live for you, to know who we are, and then to confirm that by how we live. Thank you for being patient with us. You know we mess up, but you forgive, and then you encourage us with your Spirit to keep walking, to keep moving, to not sink in the sand, but to keep walking on God's rock-solid truth in a world of shifting sand. Thank you for our fathers. We're grateful for them. In Jesus' name.